welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And since it looks like we don't have anybody with us tonight that wishes to speak, we're going to just let you know that we got some good music headed your way, as well as some good messages. But remember to pray for all the requests that we've had over the weeks, the first responders, those in nursing homes and hospitals, all our first workers there, our doctors and stuff, as well as our police forces, and those in authority, such as our politicians, etc., because they definitely need prayer, amen, and our nation as a whole. And let's get started tonight with some good gospel music as we get rolling on here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, amen.
Saw me fall, falling in love. our days are numbered. Some live on borrowed time. But life is what you make it. Thank God I was so inclined to accept my Lord and Savior when the good news sunk in. He paid a heavenly price by giving his life, and I can't wait to go home to him. I'm ready to go. And God only knows when that might be. But oh, what joy waits up yonder. Watch this whole world. Jesus are lost, never to be found. So please listen when I'm talking. I'm just saying what needs to be said. Make plans while you're still living. It's too late when you're dead. I'm ready to go. But God only knows when that might be. But oh, what joy waits up yonder. What's this whole world sets me free? Oh,
and the joy we share as we share. Honey, if you listen real close, you can still hear her.
mercy. Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation, and it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the deep. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my own.
Timothy River takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the
Squad. With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Psalms 71 and verse 18. Psalms 71 and verse 18.
Now, also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come.
And we're going to hear that one more time. Amen.
Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Psalm 71, verse 18, Psalm 71, verse 18, which tells us that we want to have God with us when we're old and gray-headed. Amen. Found in our Psalms, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalm 71 and verse 18. Amen.
I was lost in sin. I had no peace within to save my weary soul. I knew not how. Then Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. So different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly clapped the gospel cloud. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. So different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. So different now since by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. sung those songs for years that tell the future to flee. When at the close of life, his wondrous face we'll see. And we've heard for many years that when our name is called, and we cross to heaven's door, we'll say it's worth it all. It's worth it now to be a child of God. It's worth it now. So in His name I'll cry. What a time I'm having here.
Yeah.
I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and now it is time for the Hebrew Word of the Week by Tim Gruber. Amen.
Oh, this is Brother Timothy Gruber here with the Hebrew Word of the Week, and the word for this week is none other than the very name, Yehovah. It's Jehovah in Hebrew. Yehovah. Using English letters, you would spell it according to its pronunciation. Y as in year. E-H-O as in Victor. A as in Adam. H as in Howard. Yehovah. In Yehovah, the Lord our righteousness. And accordingly, there is in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, we read also Jeremiah 33 as well. Jehovah said to me, Jeremiah 33, verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. In the previous verse, verse 15, the previous verse, verse 14, the old days come, said the Lord, that will be 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. In verses 17 and 18, Jeremiah 33, for thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and do sacrifice continually. And again, it is worth a week better than the very name of Jehovah. It is in Hebrew, Yehovah. The next line, Timothy Gruber. God bless you and yours.
The storm on rise, look around. You can't deny this is the hour of heaven's time. Armies gathering the east for the war that's soon to come. Death will march with the mark of the beast. Light and walk with the sun.
Soon we'll see his wrath come down, and the Lord descending from the sky. When you hear the trumpet sound, God has answered Jerusalem's cry.
Thank you. Once stated that fact. Now it seems rather odd if your prophet's God, your dates have been so far off the track.
Now the watchtower can only deceive, but from Jesus you can receive. God's Spirit comes in and you're born again. Singing Jesus is Jehovah to me.
Thank you.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, @gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Can't wait. Love you. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And now tonight, we're going to have a little message about being a good watchman. Amen. And we're going to be going into Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 9. And we'll start at Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Amen.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying.
Now you notice here, Ezekiel, being a prophet of the Lord, had the word of the Lord come to him. It came directly to him. And what was this word? Well, we're going to find out. Ezekiel 33 and verse 2.
Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman.
Now, the first thing that God says, he says to Ezekiel, now, if I send, now God says, if he sends the sword upon the land, any land. Now, if that land, if that country, if that people sets up a watchman, coasts. Now, if they set up a watchman, here's what their watchman is supposed to do. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 3.
If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people.
Now, if he sees the sword come and he warns the people. Now, this is the watchman that was set up by a certain people. If he sees that the sword come and he warns the people, gives some sort of alarm and says, hey, the battle's coming. Be prepared. We've got someone attacking us. Now, that's his job. Now, we'll look at Ezekiel 33 and verse 4.
Then, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
Now, he says, God says, if the person inside the land heard the sound of the warning trumpet. If he heard the sound of the warning blast that warned him that the attack was coming, he heard the warning from the watchman, and he did not take warning, he did not heed that warning, he did not pay attention to that warning. And the enemy comes and takes him away, his blood, his life is in his own hands. Basically, you've heard the saying, you made your bed, now you got to sleep in it. All right? Now, Ezekiel, verse chapter 33 and verse 5.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Now the person who did not take warning, his blood, his life is upon his own head. He pays the price. You made your bed, now sleep in it. But he that took the warning, He paid attention. He delivers his own life. He delivers his own soul. He delivers his own body because why? He took warning and he's able to go hide. He's able to face the battle. He's able to do what have you because he took warning. Okay? Now, pay attention to what just was said because God is going to draw a comparison between the watchman on the wall of a city and something spiritual. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6.
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
And one final thought Gad gives about a watchman on the wall. If the watchman himself doesn't do his job, and the people are not warned, then the watchman is the one who's responsible. The watchman is the one who makes their lives forfeit. It's the watchman who's going to suffer the consequences of those people dying. Amen. Okay, Ezekiel 33 and verse 7.
So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me.
Now we find the spiritual comparison to the watchman on the wall of a regular city. Ezekiel, as a prophet, think of him like a preacher. He is called to who? The nation of Israel. Now, churches, Christians, listen to this point. Israel is a type of the body of Christ. Ezekiel is a type of your pastors, your preachers. So, when God says to Ezekiel, he's the watchman on the wall, preachers, you are the watchman on the wall spoken of here, and the flock that God has given you, the body of Christ, not the lost, not those who are outside of the body of Christ, but those who are in Christ, are the ones you are the watchman to. You need to get this point. We've been preaching this text wrong for so many years that it's not funny. It is, we are called to the body of Christ, to warn the body of Christ. Amen. All right, Ezekiel 33, verse 8.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require at thine hand.
Now remember, once again, preachers, you're in the place of Ezekiel. And he says, when you warn the wicked, this is somebody now outside of Christ, to turn from their wicked way. And if they do not turn from their wicked way, their sinful way, then their blood is on their own head. But if you do not warn them from their wicked way, you don't do your job, then their blood is required at your hand. Okay, Ezekiel 33 and verse 9.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he did not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul.
And then you notice, it finally concludes with this thought. If you warn the wicked, the person outside the body of Christ, from his wicked way, if you warned him and he does not turn from it, then you have delivered your soul. You've delivered your soul because you did what you were responsible for. You did what you were responsible for. When you saw somebody not doing right, you told them what you had to tell them. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
The Apostle Paul was writing to the fold. He said, be brave, be confident, be bold. For you know the crown of life awaits you when your trials here on earth have come and gone. Now there will come many prophets who'll speak falsely. You must stand firm, toe to toe, and eye to eye. Tell them Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, and his word must not be compromised. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. The apostle's message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary, so his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand.
Because it's cold, and some because it's hot, and some because they're getting old, and some because they're not. Some stay at home to entertain, and some to cook the dinner, and some because they're good enough, and some because they're sinners. Some stay at home because their hat, the milliner's not finished, and some because their liking for the minister has diminished. Some stay at home because their clothes are looking old and shabby, and some because their special type of piety is flabby. Some stay at home because they have a farm and lots of stock, and therefore cannot spare the time to gather with God's flock. Some stay away because their beaux care nothing for the church, and some because a special friend has left them in the lurch. And some declare they don't enjoy the singing of the choir, and others because their fellow saint aroused their wrathful ire. Some stay away because they've long and single harness tarried, and some because, as they protest, they're settled down and married. Some keep from church because they find the members cold and funny, who never clasp them by the hand unless they're after money. And some bewail with pious face the worldliness and sin that find lodgment in the church, so never enter in. Alas, alas, excuses grow to drive our thoughts from God and turn us from the house of prayer, the place our Savior trod.
All right, Pastor Barnett, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. Once again, that's a very good song and poem. Very interesting in trying to correlate these. The first song itself is about not compromising the gospel. Then the other one deals with people compromising their fellowship and going to church to help others. So if I was trying to put together a central thought between the two, it would be not to allow other people cause you to compromise your fellowship and your trust in the gospel and the church. I have to add that into the church because that is where our fellowship grows, with fellowship and one with another. So, I would say the good central thought would be don't allow others to cause you to compromise your faith or your trust in God in the church. So that's don't compromise your fellowship because of the actions of others. That will be kind of my overall statement.
Well,
and what do you know? You hit the ending with a bang. You are 100% correct. Don't let others compromise your faith in the gospel.
Amen. Thank you. Don't let others compromise your faith in the gospel. That is so true. And this day and time, we need to stand firm on our faith in God, our trust, and our belief in Him and His Word. And just because others are not doing well, don't mean we have to misbehave. So that's what I'm going to say.
Amen, amen. And now that we so far see that you are so far the leader, we're going to have to see if anyone else, as we go through this series, will top you. But so far, you're the top dog. All right, now we'll move on with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. In the Holy Bible, it tells us when the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nations, trouble everywhere too. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood.
sorrow. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. A very foolish thing to say to a man or woman who does not believe in God or the Bible, you better go in the rapture, because if you say such, in all probability, he or she won't have the faintest idea what you're talking about. But if you can show that person that Adam sinned, and as a descendant of Adam, is born a sinner, sins that produces light, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. And it is the will of God that not one of the little ones perish, because God so loved man that he gave his only begotten son for him. I say that if you could show the average person the overall concept of God's plan of salvation for lost mankind, then you have driven a tremendous wedge into the gap of that man not being interested in his salvation. If you could show the non-believing individual that he does not have to die if he accepts Christ, but that he will pass from death unto life and become a new creature in Christ, then we stand even chances of gaining his interest and confidence, whereby we can show him that everything happening today is providentially decreed. you can show that non-believing individual that there is coming a seven-year tribulation period, at which time he will give a great shout, and those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and caught up, and will be then taken away from all the evil and all the torture which is to be let loose upon the earth during the seven-year tribulation period. Thus, we have the chance of gaining his interest and showing him his need. We can appeal to the non-believing person's intelligence, and if we can take the Bible and show him the why and the wherefore of the seven-year tribulation period, revealing to him from God's word in chronological order what must be accomplished and completed during this period of time, then we may be able to convince him that he need not be here during the time of tribulation. Now, in this lesson, I'm endeavoring to show the six things to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. Scripture, 70 weeks, 490 years, are determined upon thy people, the Jews, upon thy lowly city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Daniel 9:24, King James Version. This verse of Scripture lists the six things to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. We see the first thing to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period is to finish the transgression. Transgression in this particular verse of Scripture, if it was translated from the original Hebrew, would be rebellion. So this seven-year tribulation period, which is the last segment of the national time cycle of 490 years, is to be visited upon both Jew and Gentile, during which time all rebellion and transgression against God will be terminated once and for all. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Rebellion or transgression is actually sinning against God. At the conclusion of the 490 years, there will be no further rebellion anywhere upon the earth against God. Amen. So we see that from the time the walls were completed, until Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, to be crucified was 434 years, adding 49 years to 434 years, gives us a total of 483, which was subtracted from 490 years, leaves 7 years. It's during this seven-year period of time remaining that all rebellion and transgression against God is to be eliminated once and for all. This closing seven-year period will bring a termination to rebellion against God by the nation of Israel. Let's look into the scripture and see against whom the Israelites are rebelling. Scripture, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression and rebellion in Jacob, saith the Lord. Isaiah 59:20, King James Version. The Redeemer mentioned in this verse of scripture is Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is to come to the city of Jerusalem at the second stage of the second coming. He will return to the earth at the Battle of Armageddon, and it is then that he will finish the transgression or rebellion, and from then on, there will be no further rebellion in Israel. Amen. Among the Gentiles, there will be further transgression or rebellion, which is to come at the conclusion of the thousand-year reign of Christ, when Satan is to be loosed out of his bottomless pit, and then he will gather together in armor from the land of Gog and Magog, but that particular rebellion will be in the ranks of the Gentiles and not among the Israelites. The seven-year segment, which is the last part of the 490 years of the great national time cycle of Israel, will bring about an end or termination of rebellion among the Israelites against the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The 490 years of trouble, which have been decreed upon Israel by God, will have accomplished the first part, first of the six things to be accompanied by the seven-year tribulation period. There are five other things remaining to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. And number two, the second thing is to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period is to make an end of sins. The sins spoken of here are those of Israel. According to God's promise, Israel's sins are to be ended once and for all, as we're told by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. There is the scripture, and so all Israel shall be saved, and is written, there shall not come out a sign the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, the Israelites, when I shall take away their sins. Romans 11, 26 and 27 in King James Version. So here in the New Testament, we're told by Paul that there is going to be a time which will be culminated during the seven-year tribulation period when all the sins of Israel will be ended once and for all. Yay, amen. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ comes back at the second stage of his second coming, his feet are to stand upon the Mount of Olives, as we're told in Zechariah 14:4. Shortly thereafter, Christ is to take the Israelites out into the wilderness and put them under the rod, and is to purge out from amongst them all the rebels. Yay, amen. Scripture, and I will cause you, the Israelites, to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and then you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 20, 37 and 38, King James Version. So we have scripture here to tell us that Christ is going to put the Israelites under the rod, and those among them who are sinning against him are to be excluded from the fellowship of the Israelites at that time. As we have seen in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul tells us that there is to come out of Sion the Deliverer, which is one of the 220 names for Jesus Christ. This Deliverer or Redeemer is to turn away all ungodliness from Jacob, because Christ is to forgive them of their sins as a nation. The 13, the seven-year tribulation period, is to accomplish, is to make reconciliation for iniquity. We must remember that Jesus Christ turned his back upon the Israelites as a nation, not upon individual Israelites. The Bible tells us, came unto his own, but his own received him not. On one occasion, they made the statement that we have no king but Caesar. So because the Israelites had hardened their hearts and were not ready and willing to accept Jesus Christ as their king, he went to a Gentile city by the name of Caesarea Philippi, and there told Simon Peter about the establishment of his church. So the third thing to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period, which is the last segment of the 490 years of the national time cycle, is the reconciliation for iniquity for the Israelites. We find scripture to support this in the Old Testament, wherein the prophet Zechariah declares, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the house of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Zechariah 13:1, King James Version. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the second stage of his second coming, he is to deal in a specific manner with the Israelites. But many blessings that the people will receive from Christ, that time will be the fact that the curse of iniquity will be removed from them. Praise the Lord. Scripture, and the inhabitants shall not say, "I'm sick." The people that dwell therein, meaning during the thousand-year reign of Christ, shall be forgiven iniquity. Isaiah 33:24, King James Version. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth at that time, he is to make complete reconciliation for the iniquity of his people, as prophesied in the book of Daniel 600 years before the first coming of Christ. It's amazing how accurate the Word of God really is. For almost 2,600 years, this portion of Scripture has gone unfulfilled, and yet in these closing days of the dispensation of grace, we are beginning to see the approaching hour of its soon fulfillment. Practically every phase of life in the Middle East relative to the nation of Israel and the Israelitish people points to the soon return of Christ. This has many significant factors, one of them being the time of the homegoing of this church. Mentioned in Matthew 18 is very near, because we will go in the air to meet our Savior approximately 7 years before he returns to the earth to deal with his national people, the Israelites. Now, we're really looking forward at the three of the six things to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period, which are, one, to finish the transgression of rebellion, two, to make an end of sins, and three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, the fourth thing deals with the fact that during the remaining 7 years of the 490-year time cycle, Christ is to bring in everlasting righteousness, meaning to say that once the 7 years is finally visited, and the earth will know nothing but everlasting righteousness. I'm looking forward to that, praise God. Fourth thing, which the last 7 years of the 490-year special time cycle will accomplish, will be to bring in everlasting righteousness. There's going to come a time on the earth when the entire house of Israel will be indwelling in everlasting righteousness. Scripture, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which by covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put any law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34 in the King James Version. This particular portion of scripture in the Old Testament, written approximately 600 years before the first coming of Christ, declares unto us that eventually the house of Israel will live in everlasting righteousness. It's the fourth thing to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. The first thing to be accomplished, as we've seen, is to finish transgression or rebellion against God. We learn from the book of Isaiah, and the Redeemer of Jesus Christ shall come to Zion, and unto them the Israelites, to turn from transgression to Jacob, saith the Lord. We saw that the Redeemer, who is Christ, the Messiah, will come in Jerusalem at the second stage of the second coming, at which time he will finish the transgression or rebellion of the Israelites against him. And there will be no further rebellion or transgression throughout all Israel. Number two, second thing we saw was that Christ is to make an end of sins for the Israelites. The sins spoken of in this very important verse of Scripture are to be eventually ended. That is, the Israelites are to have their sins, meaning their national sins, forgiven. We found this in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 26 and 27, wherein the Apostle Paul says, For this is my God's covenant unto them, the Israelites, when I shall take away their sins. Third thing to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period, which is the last segment of the 490-year national time cycle, or 70 times 7, is to remake reconciliation for iniquity. We've seen the people of Israel as a nation turned their backs upon Jesus Christ. So he, in turn, turned his back upon them, went to a Gentile city by the name of Caesarea Philippi, and there declared unto Peter that he would do a new thing, establish his church, which up to this time had never been hinted at in the Old Testament. When Jesus Christ comes back at the second stage of his second coming, he's to become a fountain of cleanliness for the Israelites and for the forgiving of their sins. Scripture, in that day, referring to the second stage of his second coming, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Fourth thing to be accomplished is to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, in the fifth thing to be accomplished, we've learned that Jesus Christ's second coming to the earth, Daniel's prophetic vision, will be accomplished in the sealing up of the vision and the prophecy, or as it appears to the in the margin, no doubt, your Bible, to seal up vision and prophet. Naturally, one would ask, why will they be sealed up? Well, because the preaching of the gospel is necessary only when sin abounds. With Israel and Jerusalem restored to perfect fellowship with God, with every individual in the nation of Israel knowing God from the least of them to the greatest, the need for visions and preaching will naturally disappear. Here's a portion of scripture in the New Testament which supports this declaration now. Scripture, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 to 10. And that's in King James Version. And of course, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. At that time, there will be living on the earth the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perfect in every detail. Naturally, there will be no need to preach regarding him. We're rather foolish to go out and preach the gospel that we're familiar with today and have the one about whom we're preaching living there with the people at that particular time. And that's why it says in Jeremiah, which we read a few minutes ago, Scripture, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord Christ, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Jeremiah 31:34, King James Version. Fifth thing to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period is the sealing up the vision and prophecy, at which time may not necessary to tell the inhabitants of the earth about Christ, because he will be living there with them as their redeemer, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13:10, King James Version. Okay, now we're looking at the sixth thing, which the seven-year tribulation period will bring in, and this will be the anointing of the Most Holy. If you look at the margin of your Bible, in all probability, you will see there that the thing to be anointed is the Most Holy Place. The marginal interpretation is referring to a marvelous temple built in the city of Jerusalem during the millennial reign of Christ. In fact, the Bible says, there's a scripture, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place, the latter house, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai 2:9, King James Version. In other words, this verse of scripture is contrasting the temple built by Solomon as an estimated cost of $56 billion with the temple to be built and located in the city of Jerusalem. During the thousand-year reign of Christ, that's why it says the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. During the thousand-year reign of Christ, all the gold is to be brought to Christ, and all the silver and all the precious things of the earth. Same time, every knee is to bow and every tongue is to confess him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is, he's to be the supreme ruler of the entire earth, reigning from the city of Jerusalem in a beautiful new house spoken of in Haggai as this latter house. That particular time, the kings of the earth are to bring their glory into the great city of Jerusalem, all the finest engineering skill of the earth available at that time, guided by divine omnipotence, will be used in bringing forth that marvelous temple, like of which the world has never seen. That's why the scripture says the latter part of the 490 years to be visited upon Israel will be used to the Most Holy. During the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, that all the people who have survived the great calamities of the tribulation period will be required to go once a year up to the city of Jerusalem, where they will pay special homage and worship to Christ in his beautiful temple. As during this entire 490 years, 49 years of which were used to build the walls of Jerusalem, and 434 years expired following the building of the walls and before the coming of Christ into Jerusalem to be crucified, making a total of 483 years and leaving 7 years left to be fulfilled during the tribulation period, which is actually shortened by 7 months and 10 days, which we know as a little season, which will be applied at the end of the thousand-year reign, all of which will be applied at the end of the thousand-year reign. All of the six things mentioned in Daniel 9:24 will eventually become completed. That's really marvelous and amazing when one carefully digs into the scripture, comparing it with history, as we see how both so beautifully fit together. History tells us that it has come to pass, and as we in our own generation observe the marvelous unfolding of God's great overall prophetic plan, we're absolutely amazed at the accuracy of God's word. When one realizes that six things which are prophesied in the book of Daniel eventually be fulfilled during the tribulation period, and then finally any of them that are left during the little season, 7 months and 10 days, the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, it has the effect of solidifying our faith and making us willing to place our little 70 years in the omnipotent hand of God and invite him to take our lives and invest them where they will do the most good for him. Dear listener, should you be outside of Christ, you are treading upon dangerous ground, because within the Bible is written everything that a human being needs to know to make a successful journey from this earth to heaven. God has incorporated all knowledge within the pages of this blessed book. Of course, that's the Bible. It's all written here as proof that God is in charge of this universe, and everything prophesied within the Bible will come to pass. Therefore, as you observe the omnipotent hand of God at work in the world today, it should convince those of you outside of Christ that you need to come into the ark of God's love and be housed in Jesus. He's the Savior. He alone can save you, even this very hour. The purpose of this lesson is to show you from God's word that we are nearing the hour of Jesus Christ's coming in the clouds of glory to call his beloved church unto himself. After we, the born again, leave the old earth, great calamities are to come upon the earth. They are practically beyond human comprehension, so startling and of such earth-shaking magnitude that our little human minds cannot grasp their awfulness. My sincere message is the six things to be accomplished by the seven-year tribulation period. If you make sure there's nothing between you and the Savior, that is, between your soul and the Savior, we're coming into an era of time when Satan, realizing he has but a short time left, is going to prop this earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sad to say, but yet it's true. Multiplied billions are traveling the broad road that leads to destruction. These are the days spoken in the Bible as the last days. What's true of Israel is also true of the Gentiles. We have been studying the great national time cycle of 490 years spoken of in the book of Daniel, which is to be visited upon the Israelites. May I say that these 490 years will also bring in for the Gentiles an end of transgression or rebellion against the Messiah, and end the sins of the Gentiles, a complete reconciliation for iniquity and everlasting righteousness. Among the Gentiles, when the 490 years are finally ended, there'll be no need for the Bible or visions or preaching, because every tongue will be confessing, every knee will be bowing, and both the Israelite and the Gentile will meet in the holy anointed temple in Jerusalem, where Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. All of this will finally culminate at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. And, of course, you might ask the question, how can the 7 years, which are the last seven, the 490 years, possibly bring about something which is going to occur at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ? We must remember the 7 years are to be shortened, because the Bible says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days, meaning the tribulation period, shall be shortened. Matthew 24:22, King James Version. In the Old Testament, the reckoning of time was done by allowing 360 days to the year. So allowing the tribulation period to be 7 years long and to arrive at the total number of days, all we have to do is multiply 7 times 360 days, and we get 2,520 days. In the book of Daniel, we learn that the tribulation period is going to be shortened. Scripture, when I heard one saint speaking and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? He said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13-14, King James Version. These two verses of Scripture tell us that the tribulation period, commonly referred to as 7 years long, is going to be shortened and will only last 2,300 days. So in order to determine how much it shall be shortened, we 2,300 days from 2,520 days. And this gives us a difference of 220 days. Dividing 220 days by 30 days to the month, we find that we have 7 months and 10 days. If this 7 months and 10 days period of time, which is to be the little season spoken of in Revelation 20, which completes the 490 years and brings in the 6 things accomplished by the 7-year tribulation period. Scripture, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Revelation 20, verse 7, he must be loosed a little season. Revelation 20, verse 3. In other words, the tribulation period is going to be 6 years, 4 months, and 20 days long, allowing for the balance of 7 months and 10 days to be used up at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which time Satan is to be loosed out of his prison, the bottomless pit, for a little season. It's during this little season that Satan will be released to go out and test the people that have lived on the earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. During the little season, Satan will gather an army to fight against Christ again. In other words, Satan, through his Antichrist, will gather an army at the Battle of Armageddon to try and annihilate Jesus Christ on his return from heaven back down to the earth. But Jesus Christ will have an angel come down from heaven, bind Satan, and cast him into the bottomless pit, where he reigns throughout the entire 1,000-year reign of Christ. Well, that's a good place to put him. Naturally, God, having all knowledge, realizing the people on the earth would not be tested during the 1,000-year reign, allowed for a part of the 7-year period to be used at the conclusion of the 1,000-year reign, which time the people will be tested. Satan, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, is to be released from his prison, and he will gather another army from the four corners of the earth, and he will again attack the city of Jerusalem, same as he did at the Battle of Armageddon. The fire will come down from heaven and will destroy the enemy completely. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, and that will be his end. Then will come the white throne judgment, at which time the earth is to be cleansed by fire, as recorded in 2 Peter 3:10, and then everlasting righteousness will prevail throughout God's entire universe. So the little season is 7 months and 10 days long. It's subtracted from the 7-year period, making the tribulation period actually 6 years, 4 months, 20 days, with the little season for 7 months, 10 days, used at the end of the 1,000-year reign. So we see here that actually the 490 years, when they use and they are used up entirely, with 49 years used for the building of the walls of Jerusalem and 434 years for the completion of the wall till Christ came into Jerusalem, and the tribulation period 6 years, 4 months, and 20 days long, and the little season at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ being 7 months, 10 days, making a total of 490 years, being in the six things that we have been discussing. Now, allow me to mention these six things one more time. Here they are. Number one, the end of the transgression or rebellion. Two, the end of sin. Three, the end of iniquity. Four, the end of unrighteousness. Five, the end of preaching against sin. And six, the anointing of the most holy place, Jerusalem. 490 years are to be made up of 49 years, Daniel 9:25, 434 years, Daniel 9:26, 2,300 days, or 6 years, 4 months, and 20 days, Daniel 8:13 and 14, and the little season or 7 months and 10 days, Revelation 20:3. This completes the 490 years and makes it an end of sin and ushers in the new heaven and the new earth, spoken of in Isaiah 65:17 and Revelation 21:1. And the next lesson will be prophecy concerning Christ's first coming.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, it looks like the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, a mystery guest, and Jim with me.
Okay, and their area code and first three digits, Ruth.
440-837, and I'm not going to give the rest.
Okay, so caller, we're going to open your mic and see if you got any prayer requests or prayer praises for us tonight on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Zechariah Radio Network. Is there a mic open, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay, caller, your mic is open. Hello, caller, your mic is open. If you got your phone on mute, you'll have to unmute yourself so we can hear you.
Yeah, they got the hand up and the mic is on.
Yeah, but their personal phone, they have to unmute their personal phone. Okay. All right. Well, we tried to give the caller a chance to give us any prayer requests or whatever they may have. Looks like they are not with us. All right. So, Ruth, you want to give us a closing prayer, and then we'll be out of here tonight.
Holy Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. We want to serve you always. And hope somebody enjoyed the lesson and the music tonight and got saved or healed. And I know the Lord will take care of everyone, and you're on the throne. So praise your name.
Amen. And we'll catch everybody tomorrow night for the Jumbo Braille program here at the Zechariah Radio Network, 9 p.m. And we'll be having Dr. Doug Quick with us in the house again tomorrow night. So we'll see you then. God bless everybody.
God bless everyone.